For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, back for more. It is our number two of three, the home team, presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Chris and Jeff till 7, and then we'll have the Braves and the Reds, first of three. Cincinnati in last place, but they've won 7 in a row, so they hot. The Braves, they lost 2 out of 3 to Baltimore.
Yanks got swept by the Rays.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
Well, you know, it's just it's hard to just keep that maintaining that peak for an entire 162-game season. So, you know, the Yankees just, middle of June malaise, and, you know, the Braves, and maybe a little bit of that, too, against Baltimore. But, I don't think it's any reason to start freaking out or anything like that.
No, but, when you think back when the Braves were so good in the 90s and when the Yankees started on their run in the mid-90s, both of those teams beat the bad teams. I mean, would win every series against the bad teams.
Right. But here a bad team came in, and they were angling for their first sweep of the season yesterday, but Atlanta was able to at least get the win to salvage one of the games, and they stay 2.5 games in front of the Phillies in the NL East.
Chris,
and the Mets have lost 6 in a row.
Who's going to win the World Cup? It looks to be wide open because
at the beginning of the World Cup, I was on Belgium and France. Those are my two picks.
Because Brazil and Germany don't look as strong as usual. Spain and Portugal struggling a little bit, but this has been won by a select number of countries. Could this be the year? Could England break through for the first time since '66?
England has looked very good,
and it looks like if there was ever a time to win it. It looks like this would be the year, too, because this is not a typical Brazil or Germany team, and those two countries have won 9 World Cups.
Right.
You're right.
Now, they played Panama Sunday, but the thing, they beat them, whatever, it was 6-0 or 6-1. I guess Panama did end up scoring because it was their first ever goal in the World Cup, so they were down 6-0 and scored a goal, and, the celebration that ensued was, their fans were crying and stuff, so it's a big deal, I guess, to score in the World Cup, but... And they beat Tunisia late with a late goal, but that was one. I mean, they really could have had 4 or 5 goals in that one. They dominated that game too. So it's a shame they're going to play Belgium now. I think on Thursday in the game.
Doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I mean they both have moved on. It's just a matter of which team's going to win the group and which one's going to finish in second. And
could Mexico win?
No. They can't win. As much as Landon Donovan would love to see them win.
I mean, three of the last 4, they've made it to the round of 16. They're usually good about making it to the knockout round.
And they've got the big win over the Germans, but I can't see them winning it. You know, the sneaky team in there, because there's only a handful of countries that have ever won the thing, but one of them is Uruguay, who's won it twice. Now, it's been a long time.
It was early, because... But have 7 countries won it, or is it 8? Because it's Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, England's won the one, Germany, Spain, Italy.
And France.
So that's 8.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm holding 7
fingers.
So we got
3 South American countries.
Right.
England, France, Spain, Italy, Germany.
All right, yeah. 8 countries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably the closest that's been – the Netherlands – They've been knocking on the door a lot, but they're not even in it.
Yeah. Well, they were in the final 4
right,
years ago.
Right. But Argentina's down. But then again, it could be one of those things. It's kind of like with basketball, the NCAA tournament. Some of those, it's a down year. But, Duke winds up winning it, or North Carolina winds up winning it. Well, in the end, it doesn't mean Brazil or Germany can't win it.
Right.
But if there was a year for, say, England, which I do feel some kinship with, if there was a year for them to win it.
If they won the World Cup, then, that would be another pretty encouraging sign for Georgia, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. if they suddenly finally broke through and did that. But, yeah, I mean, I think they're in play, but I don't know. Belgium was the one I stepped off the limb for at the beginning of the World Cup. And, you know, granted, they're not one of those eight countries that have ever won it. I took France as my B team, but I'm going to stick by those two because Belgium's looked really good, too, so far in their two games. But, you know, and then, you know, they're going to play a somewhat meaningless game, I guess, against England. But it just is a matter of looking at the different matchups of what side of the draw you want to be on to. Like, you know who caught it good today, I believe, was Spain. Because Spain now is going to be on the opposite side of the bracket from where, you know, like Brazil will be. I think maybe even Germany, assuming that they're going to right the ship and win their next game and still end up winning that
Spain group. Spain is dangerous because they went through the crazy coaching change. Their coach had taken the Real Madrid job, the national coach, and so they part ways right before the Cup, which is, I mean, a lot of people would say it's the biggest sporting event in the world, you know, that it's more popular than the Olympics is, and I think there's absolutely some credence to that. So are they that team that, boy, not saying they're going to win it, but they got out of their group without looking good. They get more and more dangerous.
Well, and here's what they get. Like, Portugal now has to play Uruguay. They get to play Russia. Then they play the winner of the 1D, which will be either Croatia or Nigeria.
It's not a traditional power.
I mean, it looks like that's going to be Croatia. And then let's see, 1D and then 2C. Who's second out? And then like Denmark. So they'll play the winner of Croatia, Denmark, in the quarterfinal.
Probably not good enough to win the thing, but again, just a dangerous team because they probably feel pretty fortunate to get out of the group and now.
Yeah, because they were losing. Yeah, I mean they were losing 2-1 today to Morocco and then scored a goal in the extra time.
That extra time's always a little fishy.
Yeah, it was pretty early in it this time. They tacked on like 6 or 7 minutes.
What if you were playing Russia in extra time?
I'm telling
this
you,
thing?
Portugal's lucky because Iran got a penalty kick late, tied it at 1, and then, I mean, they missed a pretty much a wide open net right into the side. And
could Russia win this thing?
No, they're not going to win. They lost 3-0 today to Uruguay. I mean, they play the two teams they played at, Egypt and Saudi Arabia.
They
were
got
their
a
first
good draw.
Games. Yes, they did.
They got a good group.
They're not good. They can't beat Spain.
I think though, just for them, it was set up for them to make it to the round
of 16.
There,
yeah.
And the way this thing works, you got eight groups. The top two from the eight groups go in. You play all three teams in your group. The top two from the eight groups go into the round of 16. Then it's single elimination the rest of the way.
You're out. So I'm telling Spain's got – suddenly they're set up with a pretty nice little draw because they get the Russians in the round of 16 and then either like Croatia, Denmark, or who'd I say? Denmark or somebody.
Morocco?
No,
they've already beat Morocco.
No, either Croatia or Denmark, yeah. Will be their quarterfinal game. So they're sitting pretty right now to at least get back to the semis. All right, moving on to today's 5 at 5, which is brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, late in the show on Friday, we started to discuss, because the Friday night news dump came from Boca Raton, Florida, where they had inked Lance Kiffin to a sweet 10-year contract. Although the buyout is hilarious because if he leaves at the end of this year, it's only like $2 million.
Which is chump change in this day and age.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So 10 years for Lance at Florida Atlantic. How many does he actually serve there?
I think he's got one more.
That's it.
He's
gonna, this season.
If you were setting the odds in Vegas, would 1 or 1.5 be the number?
Probably 1.5.
And I'm just – that LSU just looks
– that's the thing. There's only – in the current, like, landscape, when you think about it, that's the only job that really realistically seems like it'll be open potentially next year that he would go to.
Because let's look through – because, like, USC's off the table. UCLA just got Chip Kelly. Chris Peterson's not going anywhere. No Georgia, no Alabama, no Clemson.
Ohio State,
yep.
Penn State, Michigan.
Florida and Florida State. Yeah. You got first year. Tennessee's got a first-year coach. You know, unless Coach Rick retired, could he go across town to Miami?
Yeah. But I mean, I don't. Coach Rick doesn't. He's not going anywhere. No. He was rejuvenated there last year.
James Franklin's not going anywhere. Harbaugh, Michigan. Even if Harbaugh left, that's not going to happen. Paul Chryst isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
Scott Frost is now at Nebraska. You know, Lincoln Riley's going into second year.
Yeah. What about like?
A&M just got a new coach.
What about T by T?
I wouldn't. I think, as crazy as it sounds, I think he knows he's in a spot where he could. He's coming back in major. I mean, major.
Yeah. All right. So what about, because there's expectations this year if they disappoint? What about West Virginia?
That's a good call. Lance and Morgantown, West Virginia.
Right. I mean, that seems like a pretty solid combination. But then again, Lance and Lubbock kind of does too.
I think one of the things that would intrigue LSU, a couple of things. You know, now he's gotten this reputation for developing quarterbacks, and that's just been the sore spot for LSU. They've struggled to get consistent good play at quarterback. And he also, you know, worked for the guy, but the needling, he does not appear to be intimidated by Emperor Saban, who, you know, going back to, you know, LSU and Bama were, man, it was back and forth, and Auburn had the year with Cam, but from that 2011 national title game since, and then LSU really had them beat in 2012, and McCarron leads them down the field. So it's like that series was back and forth, and since LSU hadn't beaten them since then.
Yeah. One thing about getting into, like, you know, trying to needle Saban is he doesn't really fight back.
No, he's just
he
does
when he beats you.
On
yeah.
The field. Yeah.
So it's sort of like a one-sided deal.
But I think the thing, too, for LSU fans, they have to look at this. And it's like, I mean, and sometimes maybe the guy just wasn't there. But you're trying to be
Tom Herman?
Yeah.
He was there.
I know. And it's like, you got Ed Orgeron, and Bama's got Nick Saban. You know, you fired Les Miles, and you actually traded down. I think Miles' biggest mistake, and he kind of helped create that Clemson monster in 2012, speaking of, he bought in too much to his own Mad Hatter stuff and started making some bad decisions.
Yeah, he became a character.
He did.
More than anything.
He did. Whereas at first, yeah, he was kind of that riverboat gambler. For whatever reason, LSU seems the fit.
Well,
for Kiffin.
It looked like, I mean, they were pretty much about to hire him to be their OC.
Yes.
So they were going to bring him on board for that. I mean, I'm sure they would welcome him as head coach. So you said this is it. He's done after this year. Because I guess we're projecting that LSU's going to end this Orgeron experiment.
The thing to keep in mind with Orgeron, he's technically only been the full-time head coach 1 year, but he was the interim for, I believe, was it 8 games?
Basically 2 months.
Yes.
Because it was at the end of September when they fired Les.
6-2 as both USC and LSU's
coach.
Yeah.
His record as an interim coach is better than his record as a real coach.
But the thing, when he was SC's head coach, I think he was 6-2, but like the losses were to UCLA and Notre Dame.
Yeah, but they beat Stanford.
They did beat Stanford. Yeah. And at LSU, it's like, well, he was 6-2. But of course, they lost to Bama. I can't remember the other team that.
Yeah, maybe like, I don't know, like Ole Miss might have gotten them, or
their
something.
Other big rival. Yeah. Yeah, so it's like they're losing to the wrong teams. But it's so crazy with the playoff, with the expansion, how rapidly things have changed. And college football was like a comfortable old chair for a long time. You kind of knew what you were getting year after year, and now, you know, here in the 2000s, things have changed so much, and we've been over this a lot. Whereas kind of in years past, as you're going way back to pre-SEC championship games, you're thinking like, wow, you know, we don't want LSU to be good. But now you want them to be good. Now, even though Georgia plays them this year, it might not be the best year to use it as an example. But you need somebody to battle with Alabama and Auburn in that SEC West. Then the thinking is, well, what if you played them in the SEC championship game? Well, you know you're playing somebody good there. So it's kind of moot, and it also goes back to that point. You know, there was a big-time recruit who was choosing between LSU and Ohio State, and with the trajectory Georgia's on right now, just the optimism rightfully running rampant, even though we play LSU this year and we faced off against each other in 3 SEC championship games, I remember this recruit when he was choosing between the two. There's a part of me said, there's just as good a odds that we could play a monster game against Ohio State in the next 2 or 3 years as there is that we could play a monster game against LSU. Because even though we play them this year, I mean, the truth of the matter is a loss by either Georgia or LSU, the loser could still have a great season.
Yes. I mean, again, as we've talked before, if you look at every – what's the game you can most afford to lose?
It.
I mean, that is it.
That's it.
On the road at LSU.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you'd – I mean, again, the only thing about would you rather lose that or something else is the idea of, like, you lose to Ed Orgeron. But
right.
it's LSU on the road.
That's one. If you look through the media guide in 10 years.
Yeah.
And
you lost at LSU.
11-1?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lost at LSU? No,
problem. Auburn lost there.
Right.
Last year.
And that's the other thing with them. They're just such a wild card now in that – and I guess those two games summed it up. They lost to Troy and beat Auburn.
Yeah. No, but that's the problem is, like, that's always how they're going to be.
With him.
They're never going to be great, but they will be good enough to beat great teams.
Yes, because they're going to have players.
Yeah, but then they'll also be just as capable of losing to, like, Vandy or Kentucky if they happen to play them 1 year.
Fall flat.
All right, but speaking of like 10 years, I mean, just the idea of like we're giving you a 10-year contract. I mean, how many SEC coaches are still going to be at their current schools a decade from now?
I think Kirby's got the best chance because he went to school here.
Yeah, I agree. What about
all right, let's run through it. Mullen.
10 years?
No. Kirby, yes.
Muschamp.
I would lean no.
Pruitt.
No.
Derek Mason.
No.
Mark Stoops.
No.
Barry Odom.
He did – no.
You like Missouri this year.
I do.
Is that everyone in the East, I think?
Yes.
Jimbo.
No.
Coach
O.
Coach O, no. We've been burying
Matt
him.
Matt Luke, no.
Malzahn.
Maybe.
Joe Moorhead. Who, by the way, Mississippi State's recruiting class is ranked pretty high right now.
I would say he's a guy who could have a shot. But the thing State's always going to run into is – and they kept Mullen longer than I thought they would.
Yes.
If you're good there, even though the money's so much better, Mullen was able to hang out until not just Florida came around, but Florida came around at the right time for him now.
Sure.
He wasn't going to go straight in to follow Meyer, which was smart.
Absolutely.
On his part.
Yeah. But I was kind of surprised that they didn't make the move with him after Muschamp and instead went with McElwain.
I think that had something to do with the timetable with Foley being on the way out. And I think Mullen might have wanted to know who the new AD was going to be, which I don't blame him.
Who happened to also come from State.
Yeah, but Matt Luke's not going to be there. Saban will be gone.
Chad Morris?
Oh, he's a guy who could theoretically still be at Arkansas.
In a decade?
Yeah.
And I guess that's everyone in the West. So we basically had like three guys, maybe.
Kirby will be at Georgia in 10 years. With, you know, 3 or 4 national title rings.
What's the record against Tech? Oh, there you go.
So hopefully 10-1, 10 straight.
10-1 against Tech.
And then who would your next – yeah, here's the thing. I mean, Mullen is a good enough coach, and he's still at the age, and he could go 10 years, but the longest Florida's had a coach is 12 years. That was Spurrier.
Yeah.
They also – Florida has a deal, too. They have a lot of sidewalk – alumni, as they call them, fans who didn't go to school there.
Well, I mean, that could end up working where he has some great years, but the occasional, you know, down year, he starts hearing people talk and like, you know what, I'm going to go to USC now or something.
Something like that. I mean, the Moorhead thing at State, he might do really well, but the point is just somebody stayed at a school now 10 years.
How about State? I mean, so State's head coaches now, they hire a guy from Indiana. They got the guy who was the offensive coordinator at Penn State, and they've got Ben Howland.
Yeah. They've gone out of region.
Yeah.
I mean, Howland.
Well, good for them.
Yeah, Howland was a tremendous hire.
You know, good for them. Like, not just thinking, like, you got to be a Southerner to work at Mississippi.
You got to get the best guy.
Right.
And the best way, and if it works out, if the best guy, as was the case here at Georgia, went to school there, then it's awesome.
I mean, they're about to have sports gambling in the next month. I mean, that's going to be a hot tourist destination now.
Biloxi and Tunica.
Yeah. Mississippi's going to have to be one of the places you got to go.
Oh, and Philadelphia, Mississippi. So you're thinking the Silver Star in Philadelphia, all those places in Tunic and all those places in Biloxi. You're going to be able to walk in there and say, I want to do a three-way parlay on the Golden Eagles, the Rebs, and the Bizarros.
They're going to be atop the, Travel and Leisure's, like, must-see places.
You know a man who liked to go to Vegas?
Who's that?
Ron Polk.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
He doesn't have to go anymore now. He can just stay home.
Well, he's at UAB. You know, he's still their volunteer coach.
Oh, that's close.
Yeah.
That's not too far.
Did you ever go to that horse track?
Yes. My dad used to take me to that horse track in Birmingham.
Awesome.
He and this other guy would go over there. And the other guy, he had all kinds of theories about, you know, if there's a gray horse in the race, you have to bet on the gray horse and all this. He was, like, really into it. I think my dad just went to, like,
just for kicks.
Yeah, and I'd tag along with him. But, yeah, there was, like, that horse track. And who knows what was going on at that place, too, that I wasn't even aware of because I was just a kid.
How about the movie Let It Ride when the horse just winks at Richard Dreyfuss? Like, that's who I'm taking.
I'm going to take that horse right there. Yeah, if a horse winks at you,
bet on him.
Yes. How about this? Let's expand now nationally. How many coaches at their current school anywhere in the next decade?
Will Meyer's health allow him to go another 10 years?
No, I don't think he's there in 10 years. What would be 2028?
I don't see it either. I just think he burns out. Franklin could still be at Penn State. Harbaugh won't be at Michigan.
I don't think he will either.
D'Antonio, I think, 60-something. I could see Paul Chryst still being at Wisconsin and Scott Frost still being at Nebraska. Peterson, with his age, potentially could still be at Washington. If Clay Helton goes –
And
now with Chip Kelly in town.
Chip Kelly, he won't be at UCLA in a decade, will he?
Kirby, Dabo, Herman.
You think Dabo still be at Clemson?
Yeah.
He won't make that move to – Bam will be like three coaches deep after Saban at that point,
deep,
right?
Dark depression.
Yeah.
Kirby, potentially Dabo, Herman, Paul Chryst, Scott Frost, Chris Peterson.
All right.
Although Dabo – no, you're right. Dabo, he could, after Saban's successor
– yeah, wait like one or two coaches.
Yeah.
Because they'll have no patience.
No. And I got a feeling, too, Saban might not – I mean, they're recruiting so great now. He might not pull a Stoops and, like, leave a full boat for the next guy. Like, if he's winning, let's say they have a couple of years where the recruiting really falls off, he'll – when his last – Great team. He'll be out of
will
Dodge.
He quit mid-year like
no,
Spurrier did?
I wouldn't think.
I would hope not. Spurrier's just a quitter.
Hey, that was, and I'm telling you, that was part of the ego. He didn't want to have a. He'll probably well. I never had a full season losing record. You know, stuff like that.
I mean, he definitely looked because they won one more game. They beat Vandy.
Did they lose? Was it the Citadel or Wofford beat them?
The Citadel. They had one more win that season. And, if Spurrier had stuck around, it's not like they were going to win any more games than what they did.
No, they were terrible. In fact, let me see. I think his first year at Duke, they might have gone 5-6. And I think he had a winning record. They went 5-6. And I believe he had a winning record every year after that until.
And that would have put a dent in his winning percentage.
Oh, yeah. That stuff mattered to him.
All right, finally, Jeff, we'll wrap up the 5 at 5 we discussed in our first hour, list of the top 100 players in college football. Mentioned there were 5 Bulldogs on that list, but none higher than 46. So my question is, you buy that there are 45 players in the country better than the best player on Georgia?
Absolutely not. Hey, it's an outrage. I demand a recount. That is some good motivation there. And
do you buy that DeAndre Swift is not one of the top 100 players in the country?
Absolutely not.
DeAndre Walker?
No.
Is Rodrigo Blankenship one of the 100 best players of the country?
Keep making those big kicks out, right?
Somebody find him those pink shoes
Get him some pink shoes. No, I mean, if I was drafting a team, I mean, Swift would I mean, Bryce Love's great. I wouldn't trade Swift for any other back. It was Zamir coming in. If you wanted to do a combination of a returning back plus an incoming back, I would take Swift and Zamir over anyone, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't trade them. That's the I mean, there are, like, good players everywhere, but, like, I wouldn't trade our guys for any of them.
like we said, it's so unique. You know, Georgia lost all that. We all know how well Georgia recruited. You know, back Kirby's first year, like 18 was a year we were looking at. But then Sony and Nick came back. They had a great senior class. And I was like, well, 19 and 20 is a year we're looking at. I'm just telling you, we've got four starting seniors on that defense who are very good players.
I like that a lot of our guys individually are kind of being overlooked.
I do too. Don't sleep on the dogs of 2018.
By the way, Hot Rod, they're Nike Vapor Mercurial 6. And the color they say is cherry, but they definitely look pink.
They look pink.
And he needs a size 11.
Somebody get that man those shoes.
But that would be a violation, wouldn't it?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, we're going to suspend him for the SEC.
I think what he wants you to do is tell him where he can find them, and he'll be willing to pay for them himself.
And he'll buy them. He'll buy them.
Something would tell me, like, the school's got to have some pull with Nike where they could get them to make them a pair, right?
No doubt.
I mean, we swung those horrible bats of theirs.
Yeah, they owe us some. Speaking of, how about that development? Oh, wow.
Yeah, all right. We'll take a break. Damon Evans is back, baby. An old friend has resurfaced. It's the Home Team presented by Golden Pantry Food Stores.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.